Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Call. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me today. I've got a great call planned for you. Today's call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. You can check your email for a copy of the notes from today's call. And to ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. And then a great place to be on the internet during the call today is out on Facebook, and you can join me out at facebook.com. And go to, you can type in Sales Technology Training Program in the search bar. You can also click on the link in the email message that I sent out earlier today. And we're going to have a great conversation out there today. In fact, looks like a couple of people are already posting. Tom posted, Roy posted. I'll read those a little bit later. And let's also set a comment goal for today's call. So let's set a goal today for 20 comments on the call. Okay. Now, a couple quick announcements. One thing I want to mention here is that I'm doing a webinar coming up on Thursday, and I encourage you to sign up and attend. I'll give you the website link in a moment here. But the topic is on how to grow your business online. So I'm going to share some online marketing strategies with you. This is in a webinar format, so this would be a great opportunity. It's on Thursday, March 5th at 10 a.m. Pacific. And the link to sign up is socialmediaoutcomes.com/online-revenue. And I'll just add it in here, webinar, March 5th. I'm going to put this into the chat window here. All right, perfect. So you can click on that, socialmediaoutcomes.com/online-revenue. The Sales Technology Training Program is a 90-day program that's designed to help you implement systems online to generate leads and earn sales. There are 12 modules of content, and today we're going to be covering email broadcasts and autoresponders. And this is perfect timing because I had a very busy day yesterday working on email marketing. I want to talk a little bit today about the process that I go through in terms of doing email marketing, and that might have some aha moments that will help you to get into action on trying to figure out what what to implement. And but first of all, let me start off, and I want to talk to you about the process of writing a compelling email message. Because ultimately, in order to get results through email marketing, it just comes down to sending out one email message at a time. And if you can create content that's interesting, if you can create content that is compelling in an email format, then people will be interested in opening and reading your emails. And I've been focusing a lot more lately on writing some very content-oriented emails and sending them out. And and at the same time, I'll send out a lot of emails where I invite people to upcoming events. It's one of the primary ways that that I deliver value to clients is by working with them in a format where I'm teaching information and they can go out and leverage that. So as far as sending out emails, first of all, one of the things to think about is what is the purpose of your email message? What are you trying to accomplish? So if you get clear about what the purpose of your email is, then it will become a lot easier for you to be able to figure out how best to be able to communicate that message. And, each individual message might have its own purpose in terms of what you're trying to accomplish. And then overall, you might have a strategy that you work to accomplish as well. Also consider, what is the offer? And not every email has to have an offer. And one of the formats that I use for email marketing is that I typically have just one offer in an email. The exception to the rule is that I will sometimes send out an email message that is an email newsletter. And so the format for an email newsletter is a little bit different than a format for an email that is just intended to have one specific purpose. Now, by the way, I want to upload an image to the group and share with you here in a second, so that for those of you who are participating live with me today, you'll be able to go out and take a look at this. And hang on just a second. I think I found the right one here. I want to share an image from my email marketing system. So I'll just say here is an example of my email marketing. And then I'll share this image in the Sales Technology Training Program group so you can go out and take a look at it. But you'll see an image there. I'll refer to that in a few minutes, so you might want to pull that up and have it handy, and then I'll reference it. But I posted it directly out on the page in the group. Now, so what is the offer? What is it that you're offering? And there's really a number of different offers that you can make in an email. You could sell a product. You know, there is a time and a place where you could send out an email and you could include a link for somebody to go out and purchase a product or service. And I utilize that strategy. I'll talk a little bit later about one of the strategies that I utilize and how I do that in terms of generating sales. But in most cases, some of the simplest calls to action are to share a free offer. You can also share a link out to a blog post. You could share a link out to a video. And one of the things I want to encourage you to think about here is you're sending out email broadcasts and also autoresponder messages too, is there's a value in training your audience to take action. There's a value in training your audience to take action. And that's not something that just happens automatically. It's something that you have to build and you have to earn over time, is getting to a point where you're able to reach out, deliver value, and you know, accomplish what it is that you're trying to. All right, hang on just a second here. Okay, so what is the hook? What is the hook? What are you trying to accomplish? One of the ways to think of the hook is, the hook is kind of, you know, think like fishing. The hook is, you know, what goes in the fish's mouth and kind of pulls them in. But in marketing, the term hook refers to what's going to grab somebody's attention and make them want to read more. So when you're sending an email message, you've got to have something that grabs somebody's attention. And by the way, one of the ways to do that is through a subject line. A subject line allows people to, or explains people what's in the email message. And so if you have an effective subject line, it will help to communicate your message, and then people can open up the message, learn more, and then take action. Now, another something else to consider is the intro. So the intro typically comes at the beginning of the message. So it, you know, when somebody opens up the message, oftentimes you'll have like a greeting, I like hi, and then the person's name. Some people will say like hey, or what's up, or dear, whatever it is. You have your greeting, and then you have the introduction. A great way to start out an introduction in an email message is to ask a question. By asking a question, it helps to engage people, and once you're engaging them, then they can respond more effectively. Then you have the copy. And in fact, any of the words that are in an email message typically are going to be copy. Now, there are two terms that I use. One is content, and the other one is copy. Content refers to information that adds value. Copy refers to information that's persuasive and influential. And in an email message, you can have both content and copy. And that's actually a strategy I use. Like, some people just use copy. It's just intended to persuade. But I think the best emails include both content, where you're adding value, you're sharing tips and information, and also drive toward a call to action. So other marketers, other copywriters feel like including copy takes away, or including content takes away from the actual copy. But I don't believe that. Now, of course, you'll have your offer, if you have an offer, and not every email message needs to have an offer. And even if I don't have a specific offer, sometimes, like one of the strategies I used out on Monday, was to make an offer, or not make an offer, but in the PS statement, I included a link to a blog post. So even if I don't have a specific offer, like a free offer or a product that people can purchase or an event that they can sign up for, sometimes I'll just include a link for additional information. And sometimes, because if somebody's interested in what they're reading and they kind of get to the end and that's it, then they're kind of bummed out. So by offering them something related, then it encourages them to take a next step. And it's a good idea to get people into action to go out to your website, for one, because that helps improve traffic to your site. The more people you have clicking on links in your email messages will cause more people to go out to your website. Now, so related to the offer is the call to action. So again, the offer is different from the call to action. The offer is what it is that you're offering. So in the case of a product, it might be here's XYZ product. And then the call to action is a statement like click here to sign up. And then it would include the link. Now, sometimes the call to action is not to actually go out to a web page. You could have a call to action to call into a phone number. In fact, if you watch infomercials, that's probably the most common call to action is to call, you know, and then they give a number, and they might repeat that number multiple times, and they might create some urgency and scarcity around the offer. And but that call to action is to pick up the phone and make a call, and they have operators standing by. Then you have the closing of the message, and I always end my messages with "to your success," and then I include my name and my title. I put online marketing and social media trainer, and then I put a PS statement. And in the PS statement, sometimes that's where I put the main call to action, like if I have a big content-oriented email. But oftentimes if I have like a webinar invitation, if I'm inviting people to attend a webinar, I will include it multiple times. And then I will also put it into the PS statement as well. Okay, I want to pop out of the Facebook page real quick here and just check in on the comments. And if you haven't had a chance to go out and post there, I would encourage you to do that. And let me just acknowledge a few folks on the webinar. So I'm going to type in here, welcome, Tom Holtis. Welcome, Roy Rasmussen. And also welcome, Eileen Cohen. Okay, perfect. And so, again, our goal there is 20 comments, so go ahead and post a comment out there. I'll read those a little bit later. Now, how often should you send out email messages? Well, this is one of the areas where I'm a big stickler for coming up with a specific strategy around using email. And what I've found in a lot of cases is that people aren't they're not consistent in their email marketing. In fact, most people are not consistent in their marketing overall. And this gets into the area of marketing planning. I had a great conversation with a marketing expert earlier today. We were talking about the importance of doing marketing plans. I said, I don't typically teach my clients a process around marketing planning. I know when I first launched my business, I wrote a business plan. I wrote an 80-page business plan. And it was really just too much detail. And that kind of put a bad experience in my mouth. And what I found is that when you're doing planning, oftentimes it's really tough to predict the future. So the way I do planning now is really just kind of a month at a time. I figure out what I'm going to be doing for the next month, and I focus on that. And I spend a little bit of time planning out at the beginning of the year and thinking about what I want to accomplish. In fact, I go through a process that taught by Eric Lofholm for creating a sales and marketing plan. And so I have an idea of what I want to accomplish throughout the year, but I really kind of plan month at a time what I want to accomplish. And so part of that is making decisions about how much you want to be communicating. So if you are not taking the time to figure out how often that you want to communicate, for instance, through email, then that's a missed opportunity, because oftentimes when you don't plan, you know, it goes back to that statement, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So by not coming up with some kind of specific strategy, then you end up not doing anything. And so my goal, for instance, is to send out one email message to my list per day, 5 days a week. And I've had periods of time where I've sent out upwards of 7 emails per week, like one per day. I've had periods of time when I went for a week and didn't send any email messages. But lately, I've been striving to send out one email message per day. Now, if you're in a number of different programs, then it's possible that you might get more than one email from me on a given day. And so that's a possibility. Sometimes if, you know, if you're in multiple programs and they're overlapping days or something like that, then you might get reminder emails and other things as well. So there's an exception to every rule. But as far as emails that I send out to my full list, typically it's no more than one per day. Now, I want to talk for a moment about the graphic that I posted out on the Facebook group. So if you haven't gone out there ahead of time, you should go out there and take a look. I posted it. So it's posted on March 3rd at about 4 o'clock p.m. It says, here's an example of my email marketing. If you open it up, it'll pull up an image there, and that comes straight from One Shopping Cart, which is my email marketing system. And it shows you there my broadcast emails. And in the graphic there, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 emails that appear in there. So part of the way that I work, I mentioned that I plan on a monthly basis, and really I execute on a weekly basis. My work, I have a lot of repetitive things that happen from week to week. Like, for instance, this call for the Sales Technology Training Program happens every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific time. And so every single week I send out an email reminder message to the folks that are in the program. So that means that email, and then I have to go into my system and I have to schedule it to go out. And I typically send that email out first thing in the morning. So it's great if I can schedule that in advance. And so if I'm firing on all cylinders, if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, then I can actually get ahead of the curve as I did yesterday and schedule all my email messages for the week. And, you know, I always feel good heading into the end of the week because I feel like when I get to Friday that I'm done, that I've accomplished everything for the week. And then as soon as I hit like Sunday and then Monday, I kind of feel like the weight of the world is back on my shoulders again. And now I've got to go back through this whole process again. So one of the things that I've done in my business is I've turned Monday into what I call my marketing Mondays. I don't schedule appointments on Mondays. I found in the past when I scheduled appointments, I'm trying to get email reminders out. I'm trying to write marketing emails to send out. I've got all these other things to do, and it really just kind of throws off my week. And so I do have a webinar that I do for one of my programs at the end of the day, but for the most part, I don't do anything else on Mondays except just marketing. And email marketing is a big piece of what I do, and so that's what I'm doing. I'm going in and writing email messages. I'm going to my system and scheduling them. And I think that's one of the powerful things about email marketing is the ability to schedule messages for the future. If you can write something and then schedule it to go out in the future, that is so powerful. For one, I think it helps in taking away the second guessing, because oftentimes, you know, if you decide you want to write an email, you write it, and then you go to schedule it to send it. When you go and schedule it to go out like right now, you might feel a little bit of hesitation, like, is the email perfect? Did I get it right? Should I really be sending this email? And I know I've felt that a couple times. I felt like when I was going to send out an email that I was not ready to get it going, you know, for whatever reason. Maybe I felt like I needed to go back and rewrite something or whatever else. And if you schedule emails in advance, it lessens that feeling. This is particularly true if you do any kind of sequential promotions. And this is also an opportunity with email autoresponders. The type of emails I've been talking about for the most part today are broadcast emails, where you go in and either send it out now to your whole list or you schedule it for a future date to go out to your list. Autoresponders are really kind of a different beast. An autoresponder series is a series of messages that you write and then put into your system and schedule to go out based on when people are added to a specific list. And what's powerful about an autoresponder series is that you could have a series of emails. You could have, you know, 5, 10, 20 emails. The most that I've heard is that one coach had 2 years of emails that were set up in an autoresponder series ready to go out. And I thought, wow, that's pretty amazing, because I know that takes a lot of work, because each one of those emails, it's not just what words are in that email. There's a lot of work just to do that. But it is every time there's a call to action to go to a blog post or go to a video, all that content had to be created for 2 years in advance. So that's a lot of thinking and a lot of planning to execute. And if you're not used to planning your marketing out, then, you know, this is a big idea to learn. And I think this is a missed opportunity for a lot of business owners, is to think strategically. You know, this to me gets into embracing technology, is looking for ways that you can leverage technology tools, looking for ways to automate. I love automation. Automation saves me time. What's nice is, like this week, I know that at specific points during this week, those emails are scheduled and they're ready to go out automatically. That is automation. It took me the work to get it done up front, but one of the strategies I'm using there that you can use too is the process of batching. You can batch work. Batching is the process of combining tasks together that are similar. So I batch writing tasks. I batch email scheduling tasks. I batch marketing automation tasks like scheduling social media. So I might block out a period of 90 minutes to 2 or 3 hours to work on a project. Like, it probably took me about 3 hours to write all those email messages, to go into my system, to schedule them to go out. I also send out test emails of each one and make sure that links are working. And so that's about a 3-hour process to get it done. But if I had done one here and one there, it probably would have ended up taking more like 4 hours, and it probably would have drained my time and left me much more stressed out. So if you can get into a habit of batching tasks, that can be much more effective. Okay, so I encourage you to go out there and check out that graphic. Now, one thing I will note is that a lot of those emails are reminder emails, but I have other emails that I've scheduled to go out during the week. After I took the graphic, I actually went in yesterday and I sent out another email. I actually did two emails, but the second email only went to my clients. So just people who have signed up for one of my programs or engaged me in some other way. And it was an opportunity to spotlight them. I sent out an email and I invited people to contact me with a quote. I said, send me a quote, 1 to 2 sentences, and I will create a quote image, and I will post it out on social media and tag you in the image as a way to spotlight you and increase your visibility. And I had an overwhelming response to that. And what's interesting is that wasn't part of my plan. That was not part of my original plan. The idea actually came to me as I was out on Facebook yesterday, and somebody had posted something in a Facebook group talking about, they said something like, it's a Facebook group for sharing quotes. And they were saying, everybody always shares quotes from, you know, the same experts over and over. Why don't we share our own quotes? Let's make up our own quotes and share them. And that idea just kind of percolated in my head. And then the way my brain translated that was, hey, that's a great idea, but why don't I do that for my clients? Why don't I use this as an opportunity to spotlight my clients? And I probably had about 20 to 25 people already email me with quotes. And so all week long, I'm going to be creating quote images and sharing them out. So if you didn't see that email on spotlighting you, go ahead and find that email and respond back to me and get your quote in. The deadline on that is March 6th, so see if you can get that in. Now, but here's the thing, and this is what I love about email marketing too, is that that idea occurred in my brain, and within an hour, I had already written an email, I had already gone into my system and sent it out, and people were already responding back to me. That's how powerful email marketing is. Now, that's not selling a product. I certainly implement some strategies that will generate leads, book appointments, and that will generate sales. But you can't just focus on those activities. You have to find ways to add value to people as well. Otherwise, people are just going to unsubscribe from your list. If you're not doing anything to add value, then they're not going to feel like they need to be on your list. And I unsubscribe from lists periodically. I have subscribed to probably hundreds of different lists. So I get thousands of different emails every single week that I have to sort through. And sometimes I get on lists, sometimes people add me to lists where I didn't ask to be added. So I'll unsubscribe from those. But you can learn a lot, by the way, from watching and reading other people's email messages. Okay, I'll be checking out in the Facebook group in a couple minutes for feedback. Let me just do a quick pop in there and see how we're doing on comments. Also, if you have any questions, feel free to post them out there. Looks like we're up to 14. Looks like Roy is out there leading the charge. Thanks for sharing, Roy. I also want to encourage Tom, if you're near a computer, and also Eileen, pop into the Facebook group, share there as well. So what are your goals for email? What are your goals for email marketing? What are you trying to accomplish? Have you set any specific goals? Have you set a goal for how many dollars you want to earn per month from email? Goals can be very powerful because it puts a spotlight on what types of activities you need to be doing. So if I had a goal, say, of generating $1,000 in sales per month, then my activity is probably going to be a little different if I didn't have a goal. Goals give you something to shoot for. And it's not to say that you necessarily have to meet your goal. You can set the goal and you can fall short of your goal. But it's, the purpose of the goal is to help you to change your action, help you to change your actions. Now, let me share with you, and I just kind of shared these a minute ago, but let me just recap for you here. Three key systems you can apply to email messages. One is lead generation, two is appointment setting, and three is lead conversion. So these are systems and processes you can apply to email marketing. So I send emails that I send out specifically for lead generation. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you're sending an email out to somebody who's already on your list, they're already on your list. So if you share like a lead capture page and they go on to fill out the form, well, they're already opted into your list. They're already getting your emails. I've found some interesting things. Sometimes when people opt in based on an offer like that, they will opt in with a different email address. So you're going to end up with people on your email list multiple times. In fact, inevitably, I get emails from people saying, I'm getting too many emails from you. And I think to myself, well, why do you keep opting in with a different email address? I've got people who have opted in with five different email addresses, and then they complain they get too many emails from me. I'm like, well, why did you do that? So, you know, it's you're creating your own problem there. But the other benefit is that is viral marketing. You can send out an email, you can share a free offer, and then you can encourage people to go out and opt in for your free offer. So, again, this is about training your audience. When you send out email messages, you've got to train your audience to respond. So, like, if you read my email newsletter, in the opening couple paragraphs of my newsletter before I get into the actual content, one of the things I always do is I always have about a two-sentence statement, something like, it'll say something like, who do you know that's a public speaker? Please forward this email message to them now. Thanks. Now, the reason I do this is that when it comes to referring people, one of the best ways that you can get referrals is to be very specific in other people's minds about who you're trying to reach. And so by mentioning someone like a public speaker or like a business coach or someone like that, it makes it easier for the person to think in their mind of a specific person. Sometimes I'll say something like, forward this to three friends or something like generic, but other times I will make a specific statement. And so when I say something like a public speaker or a coach or a management consultant, then someone might pop into their head and then they might just forward that email. Plus the other thing is because I've been specific, they might feel like, hey, this message is intended for this person. And even the person getting it might feel like, hey, I'm a management consultant. It's cool. I want to read this message. And generally, I try to match that up. You know, so if I have a message, you know, I think, okay, let me think of the content that's in this newsletter. Who is this most applicable for? And I'll pick a specific role, and then I will include that. But that's a strategy I use. And by the way, in your emails, you can use repetitive strategies. You can use the same techniques over and over. So I send out a weekly email newsletter, and I include the same types of content in every single newsletter. I follow the same process. I follow a formula. See, if you can use formulas in your business, that makes your job easier. And that doesn't mean you should become overly dependent on formulas. It just means that you can find a formula that works for you and do it over and over, and then switch it up from time to time and try out different formulas. Okay. You can also use emails to promote joint venture partners. In fact, I was on the call with a joint venture partner earlier today, and we're planning an interview coming up at the end of March. And so we're planning out the details for that. And so I said, okay, here are the things that I'm going to need to invite people to participate in this interview. And I was laying out the different strategies. So part of my quote-unquote marketing plan is to the partner relationships. I seek out people who have value that they can share to other people, and I spotlight them. I invite people to learn from them. And so you might want to think about for your own business, Who are your joint venture partners? How can you leverage email to help other people? Okay, let's see. All right, let's pop over into Facebook. I want to go ahead and read some of the comments here and catch up on what you're sharing. Also, if you have any questions, feel free to post those out in the group. Okay, Roy says, today's topic, email broadcasts and autoresponders. And he says, you have to get your audience in the habit of responding to your emails. Yeah, that's a good point there, a good recap. And this is a technique that is actually, it didn't actually originate with email. It actually originated with direct mail. And the technique is known as direct response marketing. And so I'm just gonna pop a note in here, direct response marketing. And in fact, a big proponent of direct response marketing is Dan Kennedy. Ever heard of Dan Kennedy? He's a kind of a bigwig in the direct mail industry, but his techniques also cover email marketing as well. And so direct response marketing is all about getting people to respond to you. That's the response part, direct response. People are responding to you directly. So when you're sending out an email message, you want to craft that message in a way that causes someone to take some form of action, whether it's to pick up a phone, to send an email, to click on a link, whatever else it is. Because here's the thing, not everybody is going to respond to your message. Not everybody is going to respond to your message. In fact, like if I look at my open rates for emails, if I send an email message out to, let's just use an example of, say, 2,000 people. If I send an email message to 2,000 people, if I have a 10% open rate, that means that 200 people open that email. 200 out of 2,000 email messages that were sent out, 200 opened it. And then out of that open rate, then let's say that 20% took action. So they read the email message, they found a link, and they clicked on it. So one thing you want to think about is, what are your percentages? What is your open rate of your email messages? And then what is your percentage of people actually taking an action? And again, this can be a little bit complicated. For instance, if it's driving to a phone call, you're going to have to track that yourself. If it's clicking on a link, that becomes a little bit easier. Your system should allow you to track that. Roy says, scheduling your emails ahead of time will save you time. Yeah, absolutely. It saves time. I think it also takes the pressure off. And if you batch it, then you can be kind of in a calm state of mind as you're writing, because writing takes a certain amount of creativity. You need to write when you feel awake, when you feel energized, when you're concentrating, when you're focused, and then write those email messages and then schedule them to go out. And by the way, you don't have to do things just one week at a time. You know, it is possible you could schedule emails to go out throughout the whole month. If you could really get ahead of the curve, then you could do that. But for me, it's mostly just one week at a time. I haven't been able to get ahead of one week at a time. I might start experimenting with maybe trying a few feature emails to send out. And by the way, one of the techniques I haven't talked about so far today, but one of the techniques I certainly recommend is to create an email marketing calendar. That's part of my marketing planning process. And so let me take a moment to just explain what that technique is and how you can use it. So when I say an email marketing calendar, I'm not talking like a calendar on the wall, you know, where you put like, you know, little Joey has to go to the swim team and then Susie has to play basketball. It is, I use spreadsheets for calendars. And the column, well, first of all, the rows would be the dates of the month. So I use, for instance, Google Docs. And Google Docs, just like Excel, allows you to have multiple tabs. And so I set up one tab per month. So just this week, in fact, because it's a brand new month, I set up a new tab for March. So I had to put all my dates in down the left-hand side. And then across the top, I put my columns. And so, for instance, some of the columns are the date, and that is the date that I plan on sending the email out. I also put the day of the week, because when I look at that calendar, I need to know what day I'm referring to, because again, I have certain repetitive activities. Like every Tuesday, I send out my sales technology training program email reminder. So I need to know, I could plan out on my calendar that email is going out on that date based on not just the date, but also the day of the week. I also put a field for what is the purpose of the email. And I call it purpose because I have a separate column for subject line. And oftentimes I know what the purpose of the email is before I know what the actual subject line is. I also put columns for the audience. Not every email message has to go out to every person on your list. A more advanced technique is a technique that I teach called email list segmentation. And we don't have a chance to get into that. It's kind of a complicated technique. But it's basically how to kind of carve up and slice and dice your email list and send out messages to a specific group based on demographic information or information based on past activity that they've had on your email list. So that's an email calendar. So if you don't have an email calendar, I would definitely encourage you to do it. And this also helps if you this gives you a way to kind of eyeball your email messages each week to see if you're reaching your goal. So let's say that your goal was to send out 3 messages to your list per week. Well, then you could easily look at your calendar and see if you've already planned those out. And, you know, planning is thought before action. Planning is thought before action. It's taking time to think out in advance what you want to do and then taking action on it. Roy said, sometimes you need to edit more and sometimes you just need to push the button. Sometimes you need to edit more and sometimes you need to push. Yeah, absolutely. That's the old focus on completion, not perfection. And oftentimes I felt when I clicked that button to send out the email that it wasn't ready. Like maybe it was 80% ready. Sometimes I'll be reading through and I'm like, oh, there's a bad transition here. I didn't take enough time to kind of bridge this and really build up to it. Or sometimes I'll rewrite an email and as I'm going through and reading it before it goes out, I'm like, oh, shoot, I didn't really do a good job of, you know, editing this portion. And I'll go ahead and hit send anyway because there's a speed to marketing. And if you are constantly in procrastination mode, you're never going to get anything done. Like, see, as soon as you set a goal, like I'm going to send out 3 email messages per week, that becomes something you can track. And you can identify whether you sent those messages out or not. So if your goal is to send out 3 and you send out 0, that to me tells me that you're not taking action to get it done. There's some resistance. There's something that's holding you back from getting it done. Maybe you don't feel like you have good writing skills. Maybe you feel like you don't have enough content to share, whatever it is. Well, you know what? Get over it. Figure it out. Learn what you need to do, and then just work on it. Anything that you study and learn and then take action on, you're going to get better at. So I don't worry about making emails perfect. I do the best that I can, and then I send them out. And it's a constant learning process. I learn over time, and I learn from studying the email messages that I get. So I pay attention to how other people are writing emails. In fact, I kind of hit a point where I was sitting down, and I kind of felt like, gosh, my email messages just kind of sound the same over and over. Is there anything that I can do that's different? And so what I did was I spent about an hour going through and reading email messages that were coming in. And I started jotting down some notes. I was like, oh, I like this. I like the way this person did that. I like this. I like this topic. And in part, that led me to a strategy I've been implementing this week, which is to send out more content-focused emails, like longer emails where I'm sharing. I almost call them like articles. It's an article email. So it's kind of like a newsletter, but it's not like a newsletter because a newsletter has multiple opportunities and offers. This is more of like an article in an email, but it's written as an email to where it's engaging and it's getting you to think and you feel like I'm talking to you directly. So, but I've been implementing that based on the style of emails that I was getting from other people. So you've got to learn from your own influences, who's influencing you. Roy says you can launch an email marketing campaign quickly once you know how to set it up. Yeah. This is a skill set. Creating marketing campaigns, creating email marketing campaigns, it's a skill set. The more you learn, the better you can implement. Roy said, being specific when asking for referrals will boost your referral rate. Yeah, absolutely. It's not just a matter of saying, hey, please forward this to a friend, but like telling people. You could say something like, who do you know that is a woman between the ages of 35 and 55? Think of someone in your mind right now and then forward this email on to them. So that would be an example of a way to get people to think of someone specifically. So if you can get them to picture somebody in their mind, then it's much more likely they will identify that person and then forward that email message to them. Roy said, in fact, one thing I should mention, one day I sent out an email and I asked for referrals, and I had a number of people respond to me, and somebody like emailed me a full list of people, like with phone numbers and everything. I couldn't believe it. It was like, here's a whole bunch of people. And I was like, whoa. And, you know, most people are like saying, here's one person and a phone number or something like that. But you never know what you're going to get. And that's why I like experimenting with different strategies, trying out different things. And here's the thing. If you find something that works, do it again. Like, that's probably an email that I'll send out again this year. I did it once last year. I'll probably do it again at some point this year. And, you know, again, if you're planning out in the future, part of what I do is I go through and I review in the past what I've done. So, I spent some time going through 2014, all my emails. And by the way, when it comes to email marketing, I'm very organized. As you can probably tell, I'm a pretty systematic and methodical and organized person. I have a folder system on my computer where I organize all my emails by year, and then I set up a different folder for each email marketing campaign that I do. And a campaign doesn't necessarily need to be multiple emails. It could just be one email. And then I create all my email copy in a Notepad file. If you're not familiar with Notepad, it's kind of like Microsoft Word, except without all the bells and whistles. All it is a text editor. It's a really simple tool to use. Roy said, formulas streamline your business operations. Yeah, like I'll give you an example of a blogging formula. I write a lot of blog posts, and one of the formulas that I use for my blogs is to share three tips. So typically the way the blog post goes is I have one to two introductory paragraphs, and then I have three bullet points, or, you know, like number one, two, three, and then I conclude with a closing paragraph, and that's it. So it's going to be about 300 to 400 words. And that is a formula for a blog post. But you can also use formulas for email messages as well. All right, looks like we've got about 10 minutes or so left on the call today. So share any questions that you have in the Facebook group. Let me do a quick refresh. I'm going to read a few more posts here. It looks like we're up to about 21 comments, so keep them coming. And in the meantime, I want to share some ideas, additional ideas with you here. So let me give you six email broadcast messages that you can send out. Now, you'll also find these in the notes from today's call. You can check your email. And the first message is an email newsletter. I think every business should have a newsletter. I've heard some feedback from some people that they don't like newsletters because they feel old and dated. And, hey, that's okay. You know, if you don't like newsletters, then you don't have to do one. But just because something is an old strategy that's been around for a long time doesn't mean it's not a good strategy. And one of the reasons that I like newsletters is because it includes a combination of content and copy. And it also differs from the other types of email messages that I send out. So I would encourage you to try out a newsletter. You can also do an email promotion. And I use the word promotion kind of liberally to mean any kind of invitation, an announcement, letting people know about something that's going on, could be about a special offer that's available. And so, you know, you can think about how you want to use the term promotion. But typically a promotion has an offer. That's one of the ways I would define a promotion. Now, another type of email is an email teaser. An email teaser message is one where you're creating curiosity. So a specific type of email teaser is a blog teaser email. I actually learned the strategy from Eric Laufholm. And the way Eric does it and the way I do it is that I write a blog post. I write a blog post. I post it on my blog. And then I write an email message. And then I, in the email message, I mention the blog post. I don't necessarily tell them what the title is of the blog post, but I talk about what they'll learn. I talk about the benefits. I might say something like, I wrote a great blog post talking about one of the most common mistakes that people make on social media. And the reason you want to learn this is because you don't want to be making the same mistake. So would you like to know what the mistake is? Click here to read my blog post. So I'm kind of giving them kind of a ballpark of what I'm talking about, but I'm not really explaining, like, I'm not telling them what the mistake is. So whereas in some cases you could say, I wrote a great blog post on the most common mistake that people make on social media, and the mistake is blank. And it's kind of like telling a joke and then revealing the punchline too soon. You know, part of the process of telling a joke is to really kind of stretch it out and to create a sense of suspense. And if you tell the punchline too soon, then it ruins the joke. You haven't allowed people to really kind of experience and process what it is that you're sharing. Comedians are masters at telling jokes and being able to kind of stretch it out to the point where when they reveal the punchline, then it lands the point home. So, in general, think about how you can use curiosity in your emails. Another technique is a joint venture promotion. You can send out an email and promote a joint venture partner. You can send an appointment setting email. That's a great email to send. Send out an email message that books appointments. So as someone who's interested in generating sales, you know, whether you're a business owner or a sales professional, if you can send out an email message and that causes somebody to book an appointment with you, that's a very effective strategy. And that's a strategy that I use in my business all the time. And I encourage you to do the same thing too. And the final type of email message is a wanted email. Now, a wanted email may not be applicable to everyone. The way a wanted email typically works is that it's utilized when you're looking for a specific number of people for something. So it could be a fundraiser. It could be a program that you're launching. It could be an information product that you're launching, whatever it is. And one of the components of a wanted email, oftentimes it will have some type of a statement in the subject line saying something like wanted. Like wanted 10 people to learn XYZ. So I might say something like wanted 20 people who want to learn how to use WordPress. That might be the subject line. That to me is what I call a wanted email. And in the email, then I'm explaining why they might be interested in being one of the 20 people. I'm talking about the benefits and then leading toward a call to action. Whew, wow, it feels like we've covered a lot of content today, doesn't it? All right, let me go out to the Facebook group here. Sometimes on a call like this, I feel like I've done two calls in one. Okay. Tom says, I use an email marketing system that sends out periodic emails to promote Legal Shield. It is buildlastingsuccess.com. It's also a full-featured CRM. Yeah, Tom brings up a good point here. A very key aspect to doing email marketing is having an email marketing system. And there are a lot of different systems out there. Some of them are very specialized for certain industries. Some of them are kind of generic across the board. There's just a ton of different systems out there. I've worked with clients to help them with email marketing using systems ranging from One Shopping Cart to Infusionsoft, iContact, Constant Contact, MailChimp, AWeber, Green Rope, Red Oak Cart. I've used all those different types of systems to send out email messages for clients. And each one has a little bit different orientation and a little bit different process. It can be a little bit frustrating, or I should say a little bit complicated to remember, you know, going into multiple systems. But if you have one system you're using, it typically is much easier to learn how to use that system, and then you do it repeatedly. And by the way, one thing I'll mention is whenever you're dealing with technology, I encourage you to document specific procedures. Write down specific procedures that you can take, and that's going to help you to be much more effective. Roy says, track your email key numbers, such as open rates and click-throughs. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, that's actually something that I do within my email marketing as well, or my email calendar. I will go back in when I remember to, and I will type in numbers like open rates and click-through rates and things like that. Now, one of the problems that I've been having with my system lately is that in order for the system to track click-throughs, I have to have it encode the links for tracking. And I found in some cases when I do that the links don't work. So this is one of the reasons why I always want to test out your links. So I've actually been sending out emails without encoding the links for tracking, so it's not giving me that data. And so that's something to consider. Sometimes you get the data, sometimes you don't. Probably depends from one system to the next. Some systems are more reliable than others. The system I use, One Shopping Cart, sometimes I've noticed problems with that. So I don't want to send out an email and then have somebody click on a link and have them get an error message. That's not a good thing. So if it appears that might be a problem, then I will opt not to have the tracking to where I can get that data. I can still track the open rate to see how many people open up the email. I just won't know how many people click through on the links. Roy says, use a calendar program to plan your activity and send yourself automated reminders. Good tip. Thanks for sharing that, Roy. Roy says, appointment setting emails are a quick way to boost your revenue. Yeah, absolutely. If one of the primary ways that you build your business is through scheduling one-on-one appointments, then you should think about email in a way that will help you to schedule more appointments. Tom says, leadpages.net is an interesting lead generation system. Yeah, good point. Leadpages.net, it's a similar service to something like an Optimized Press or a Kajabi, but the lead pages are hosted, in most cases, on the lead pages website. Now, one thing I've found, I've heard recently that there have been some problems where some people have had their Facebook ad account shut down because they're driving out to a lead capture, a lead pages page. There's apparently something, I think because there are so many people that are using the leadpages.net web pages, it's kind of, I guess, corrupted the reputation of the website. And so Facebook has kind of blacklisted it, or at least it uses a service that has blacklisted it. And so they're ending up kind of shutting down Facebook ad accounts because of that. So I always recommend that you host your own lead capture pages on your own website. That's typically going to be better than where you're hosting on a public site where a bunch of other people are using it. But good tip. That is a good service to use. You just have to find out if there's a way that you can host it on your site. Okay, well, we're just about at the top of the hour. It looks like we've read all the comments on here. Let me check my notes, see if there's anything else I can share before we wrap up. Yeah, you know what? One thing I want to share here, a couple of email tips. First of all, develop your copywriting skills. You don't have to become a professional copywriter. In fact, you can hire a copywriter to help you out, but it is a good idea to learn the basics of copywriting. So you might want to take a class, read a book, look out on blogs, and see if you can learn more about copywriting. It's a very useful skill. Also, create a swipe file for subject lines. This is an interesting idea. A swipe file is a tool that you can use to store information to use as a memory jogger. So when you create a swipe file, it gives you the opportunity to, like for instance, I could go through and I could compile a list of subject lines that I find interesting in the email messages I receive. And the way I would use it is when I go to send out an email, I would open up my swipe file and read through the subject lines and see if one kind of grabbed my attention. And again, this goes back to formulas. Everything boils down to formulas. You can find formulas for subject lines. You can find formulas for headlines. You can find formulas for writing copy. And really, the formula comes from your brain. It's your brain looking at and interpreting it and saying, oh, I see this is in a specific format. I can do the same thing myself. Like one of the common formulas that I use for subject lines is I'll include maybe three or four words, and then in parentheses I'll put three or four words. And the parentheses are used to break up that subject line into two different components. Sometimes I'll use a dash instead. Sometimes I'll use a colon. I use different strategies for that. Another formula that I will often use is I will pick one or maybe two words, and I will put them in all caps. And the reason I do that is I want that one word to stand out, because when somebody's looking through their email inbox, they're looking at maybe 20 different subject lines. Well, if one word is in caps, then their eye is naturally drawn toward it like a radar, and that might cause them to click and open it up. So selective capitalization could be helpful in subject lines. You can also create a swipe file for email messages. And in fact, it's a really simple technique is that you could just create a swipe file by creating a folder in your email. Like I have a folder called Great Email Copy, and whenever I find an email message that comes in, I will move that email over into the folder. I actually use Gmail and they call it labels rather than folders. All right, so that is going to conclude our call for today. I want to thank you for joining me. Hopefully you got a lot of great information today. Be sure to jump on the webinar that I have coming up on March 5th on how to grow your business online. You can sign up for that by going to socialmediaoutcomes.com/online-revenue. Thanks for joining me. Have a great week, and God bless.